So back here under the law, of course we're in the Old Testament, when a man wanted to get to God, he had to go to either the tabernacle or the temple. And when he broke the law, he had to bring a sacrifice. Now, in also regards, he could bring a free will offering and bring his offerings to the Lord back here. This is how a man got to God back under the law. Everybody understand? All right, that's not the same as today, right? Okay. Now, there was prophecies. The prophecies were that there was a king and he was coming. And when the king comes, you accept him. That's the prophecies. All the way back to Genesis chapter 3. Everybody got that? All right, now we get to Matthew, and guess what? The message, it changes. It changed from the king is coming to the king is here. Now, who was being preached to back here under the law in the Old Testament? Who was being preached to? The Jews. That's who the message was for. Jesus Christ shows up in Matthew and he says, I'm the king, I'm here. Who's he preaching to? The Jews. So the Bible says he came unto his own and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. All right, so this is what you and I would call the kingdom gospel. There are five gospels in the Bible. Not one. They're not all the same. Oh, I knew he was going to answer that. I just knew it. All right, wait a second. Let's see how close I can get. You have the gospel of the grace of God. You got Paul's gospel, which he calls my gospel. That's two. You have the gospel of the kingdom. That's three. Isn't there a gospel of the wilderness? Yes, that's four. What's the one I'm missing? The everlasting. Very good, very good. The everlasting gospel. Okay.
What was number four we couldn't hear?
Noah.
Noah. And we've got our camera. We just ain't got it figured out yet. So what the camera's going to do is sit up here, and then it's going to be smart enough to follow me, or maybe dumb enough. So that'll be kind of cool. All right. So that's the kingdom. The king is here. They reject the king. Hang him on a cross and say, let his blood be upon us and upon our children, and we got troubles. But the Lord in his mercies goes through and says, I'm going to give them to right here. This is Acts chapter 7, and this is the stoning of Stephen. And the kingdom is offered to Israel in Jerusalem up to Acts 7. After Acts chapter 7, the kingdom is no longer offered to Israel.
And that was after Stephen?
That was after the stoning of Stephen. That's when he blisters them. Calls them stiff-necked and uncircumcised and talks ugly to them. Now, we get to Acts chapter 8. We are going to have the first person saved like you are. Who knows who that is?
That would be Saul.
Nope.
Paul.
Nope.
No.
Who's the first person saved like you and me? Now that's next. The Ethiopian eunuch. So the first person saved like we are is an Ethiopian. So that's from Ham. The second one that's saved like we are is Cornelius. And Cornelius is a what? He's a Gentile. There's Japheth. Third, you know what? I've got that not right. That's not right.
Wait just a minute.
That's not right. Where am I? Always had my grace. That ain't right. Second person saved Saul, which is Paul, and that is your Shemite. Third person saved is Cornelius. He is a Gentile. He is a Jacob. That's your three. Does everybody understand?
What do you mean when you say Cornelius? Jacob.
Japheth. He was a Japhethite. Gentile. But you got all three of your races right there. Boom. Acts 8, 9.
Easy. Okay. Now, Acts chapter 8. So what I'd like to do is read through verse 25 and then go backwards. And we're going to start laying this thing out. Because this chapter, the book of Acts, is probably the most difficult book. One of the most difficult books in your Bible. Here's the reason.
Is everything is not just cut and dry. That's how we want it. So we're here in the church. And today a man is saved by grace, through faith, plus or minus nothing. No baptism, though we baptize converts. No sacraments, no church membership. That is how a man is saved. And he is saved forever. But were they saved? Did they have eternal security here? No. They have eternal security here. No. They have eternal security here. No. Will they have eternal security during the tribulation? No. Will they have eternal security during the 1,000-year millennial reign? What do all the nations have to do during the millennium? They have to come to Jerusalem to do what?
Say,
to worship. What happens if they don't go to Jerusalem to worship? There's a lake of fire right there. So is there eternal security during the millennium? No. Does everybody understand all that? You see how things change? They're not the same. Now, the average Baptist in this country goes like this. This is how he looks at it. He says, in the Old Testament, everybody from Adam to Christ is looking forward to the cross. Everybody, how many of you have heard that before? And that's everybody. Everybody back here is looking back at the cross. Now that's closer. Do we look back here to the cross? But now here, that's not so. They missed it. These guys back here are not looking for the cross. They're looking for the second coming of Christ, who is the King. They're looking for that King, and they're looking for that kingdom. They're looking for somebody to rule and reign. And I'd like you to make this little note, and that is to restore Israel to her prominence, which she had under David and Solomon. When the kingdom split, Guess what happens to Israel? She ain't prominent no more. And the time you get a few years past that, you get into Isaiah and all them, and Israel is in trouble. She goes back under Ezra and Nehemiah, but does she rule and reign even under Ezra and Nehemiah? She does not. That is what the Jew has been looking for this whole time. Does everybody understand? What I want you to see is your Bible is very progressive. It's going to move, and it's not so cut and dry as what we want to make things out to be. That is why Acts is difficult. Yes?
How do we miss it for a couple of years?
Yeah, that's a right good question, isn't it? How did they miss it? Who knows how they missed it?
One thing, he wasn't what they were expecting him.
Okay, yes, that's one. What's two? Why did they miss it?
Didn't believe.
Nope. Well,
was it because the Holy Spirit hadn't come permanently to dwell?
I'm going to show you why they missed it. All right. What is the Torah? First five books of Moses, yes. What is the Talmud? Isn't that the Hebrew Old Testament? You go to any Jewish synagogue in this world, and what are they going to give you? That's what they're going to give you. But is that the Old Testament like what we have? No. So what that is that is the Old Testament, yes. But then it has commentaries. And then it has commentaries upon commentaries. The Mishnah, the Midrash, and there's a third one. There's three of these commentaries. One, two, three. These carry the same weight as that. So why didn't they receive him as their king? It's because the devil had food with their Bible and is still there today. A Jew will not eat meat and cheese together. Anybody in here got some Jewish family, friends, relatives? Who knows why they don't? Does anybody know why? Okay. Here's the reason why. In the Old Testament, they were told not to boil, and it's called seethe, which is just another word for boil. They were not allowed to boil the goat or the lamb in its mother's milk. From that, they got, we can't eat cheese and meat together. That's why. Now, who thinks that's right? That ain't right. But that's why their Bible has fouled them up. Do you want to know why there are so many crazy Bibles today and so many crazy churches? The exact same reason. That did not happen in our history until the 1880s. Your King James Bible comes out in 1611. From 1611 to 1880, just about everyone's got a King James Bible. They start fooling with the Bible, they start changing it, and church history goes this direction. Revival stops by 1950 in this country. That's the why. Same thing that happened over here. Does anybody have any questions so far? No questions? All right, now, if you have a question, I want you to ask. Nobody's ever going to make fun of you, aggravate you. As long as it is a question in regard to what we're talking about. You know, if you want to know where Cain got his wife, then he got her from his father-in-law. And that's a smart aleck answer, I know. All right, now, Acts chapter 8, here we go. And Saul,
was consenting. All right, so he is in agreement unto his death. His is Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered, just like Acts chapter 1, abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now, they go out, but they don't run to Samaria right away. Who knows anything about the history of the Samaritans? What do you think of when you think of someone from Samaria or the Samaritans? Don't you remember some woman that came to Jesus and she was a what? She was a Samaritan. And so she goes and asks Jesus a question. What does Jesus say to her? He says, "Good woman, is it right for me to take the food from the children and cast it to the dogs?" He calls that woman a dog. A little rough, yes? That's a little rough. What does she say? What does the Samaritan woman say? Yeah. Lord, even the dogs get a few crumbs from the master's table. And what did Jesus say then? He said he had not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. The Samaritans are a mixed. They're mixed. That's exactly right. They're half Jew and half Gentile. And the Jews hate it.
That's the only time in the Bible that a woman out-talked Jesus.
Yeah, he got to her. She got to him. That's exactly right. All right, does everybody understand?
That's what this deal is with Samaria. Verse 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. For as for Saul, he made havoc in the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. That hauling or hailing, however you would pronounce it, is the same as what we would have as carried. Somebody's hauling them off. This is where the apostle, this is what God uses, verses 1, 2, and 3, to deal with the Apostle Paul. When we get over to Acts chapter 9 here in a week or two, maybe two or three, the Lord says to Paul, he says, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What's he talking about? This is what he's talking about. It was Paul that consented for Stephen to be stoned. In other words, could Paul have stopped Stephen from being stoned? Yes, he could. Did he? No, and boy, it tears him up. And that's what the Lord uses to get to him. All right. Notice in verse 3, Saul, this is before he's Paul, he made havoc. So he's tearing this thing up. I mean, he's killing them, hauling men, women, kids, everybody. I'll show you a few places. Acts 22, verse 19. It says, and I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. This is Paul. All right, Acts 26. You know, people sort of have this idea that Paul was a little sissy boy. That's the last thing Paul was. He was not. He was rough. I mean, rough as they come. All right, Acts 26, verse 10 and 11. It said, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. He is standing up as part of the prosecution. And it's just not one or two or three or four. It's in every place that he goes. Galatians chapter 1. So when Paul says that he was the chiefest of sinners, do you think he meant what he said? Or do you think that was just balderdash? No, he meant what he said. This guy was killing Christians at every turn, putting them in prison, separating moms and dads and boys and girls. He was a rough character. All right, Galatians 1, 13 and 14. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. He thought he was doing God service. That's what he thought. When the Muslims do what they do, blowing people up, they think they are doing God's service. India is one of the most difficult places in all of the world, northern India, for a Christian to take a Bible and tracts and start talking to people. And I mean, it is bad, dangerous. They would just as quick and as soon shoot you, beat you, imprison you. Let's just look at you. Now that's there. It's not everywhere, but it's there. You say, well, I know Indians and they're not like that. I know a bunch of Indians too, and they're not like that. But buddy, them ones in the north are rough. Not Fox's Book of Martyrs. Who do we get those magazines from, Shelley? Yeah, Voice of the Martyrs. I mean, they have stuff in there all the time about it. It's rough. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, it says, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. Now watch this. Because I did it what? Ignorantly in unbelief. What did Paul think he was doing? He thought he was doing God's business. And so one of the things I'd like you to take away starting Acts chapter 8 is that just because someone is really terrible doesn't mean they can't get saved. We're going to come up on a guy here just in a few minutes called Simon the Sorcerer. He wasn't just a magician. This guy was into black magic, transcendental meditation, levitation. I mean, all of the black arts. That's what he was involved in. And this old boy turns and trusts the Lord. So oftentimes we look at people and we'll go, well, he's too far gone. No, nobody. It's too far gone. Anyone can take Christ. But we don't see it that way. We'll do this. We'll pull this number. We'll look at somebody and go, man, that guy right there would be a great Christian. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you have ever thought that? Man, that guy, he'd make a great Christian. You know, that's not what God's after. You know what God's after? Somebody that says, Lord, I'll take you. And then the Lord will take that person and use him for his honor and his glory. All right, Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, I want you to notice who's doing the preaching. Tell me in verse 4 who's doing the preaching. What word is used? They. Circle it. That's men and women. Now, it's not that she is a bishop or an elder or a deacon. It's not that. You have no females in the church that are in authority. None. No women bishops, no women pastors, no women deacons. Now, you say, well, see, that bothers people. I mean, really bothers. So why?
Is it because she's not smart enough? And the answer is no. No, no, nay, nay. Is it that she could not communicate well enough? Now, you know how you know that's true? You ever watch a woman on a phone? Woman on the phone never gets done with that. You know, I get, well, what happened? I can make things come down to just a few words. What are you doing? Well, I'm working. See, just a few words. I didn't tell her where I was working. I didn't tell her exactly what I was doing. You know what she's looking for? She's looking for all the details. I cut all the details out. It wasn't that she wasn't smart enough. It wasn't that she couldn't communicate. It is also not that she's not strong enough. I can make you a case of her being much stronger than a man. You just watch one have a baby. It's true. So then why? Who can tell me why you don't have any women in authority in the church? Who knows the answer? Adam and Eve. Who said that? That's exactly right. When Adam and Eve were created and then they fell, her part of what she was charged with, that's the results. And that's the why. No other reason why. None of this stuff here really ever mattered. That's what preachers want to say. They'll say, well, you know, she's not as strong emotionally. Well, 2 or 3 days a month, maybe. So what about the rest of the time? Right? Yeah, see, now don't leave me hanging in this deep water that I'm in. Some of you just sitting there going, oh, it's going to die now. I can feel it. I can feel that. All right, back to Acts. Get out of that mess quick. Verse 6, the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing. Now watch the miracles which he did. So what is Philip doing to convert the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8? What's he doing? He has signs and what? And wonders. And those signs and wonders were given to whom? The apostles and their converts. That's who. So he's here preaching. What's he doing? He's got all these signs and wonders. Now, do we have them today? No, them stopped. All right, verse 7. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were what? Were healed. Now, when the apostles healed, did they ever miss? No. Did the person that was healed, did they have to have faith? No. Did the apostles have to lay their hands on them? No. Now, do they sometimes? Yes. One time, Paul takes a handkerchief and they get a hold of his handkerchief and just passed it around, and everybody was? Everybody. No misses. So when these guys come into town, think about this. Would there have been any hospitals with anybody in them? Listen, if I had that ability, I could go into UK hospital and just walk room to room and go be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed. Would I ever have to take up an offering? Would I ever have to go, you know, if you all don't give me $10 million, God's going to kill me. And we'll pass prayer. That's how they do it, yeah. You know why? Because they're fake. That same guy that put that out had a heart attack. Guess where the first place he went was? He went to the hospital. Why didn't he go to church? See, they're crooked.
Crooked. All right, verse 8. There was great joy in that city. Verse 9. But there was a certain man. Now, you see that but, you better watch out. This guy's name is Simon. History says that his last name was Magus, M-A-G-U-S. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. That's what history says. Whether that's so or not, I don't know. Which before time in the same city used sorcery. So we all call him Simon the Sorcerer. Watch. And bewitched the people of Samaria. So watch how the world has went through and tried to water down the Bible. Didn't you have a very famous TV show called Bewitched? And wasn't she just a super nice lady? And then she went, wasn't she the one with the nose?
Yeah.
Okay. Bewitched is bad. There's nothing good about it. There's nothing funny about it. And yet the world wanted to make that acceptable. That's how the world does it. All right, let's keep going. Giving out, this is Simon the Sorcerer, that himself was some great one. Does everybody, do you get it? What's he doing? I'm the man. Verse 10, to whom they gave heed. They all gave heed. From the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of whom? Simon the Sorcerer wasn't even claiming that his power was from God. He was claiming it was his power. Verse 11, and to him they had regard. They listened to him. Because that of a long time, he had bewitched them with sorceries. I'd like you to underline the phrase a long time. He'd been at this a long time. This wasn't new. He'd been there, we would say, forever. Verse 12. But when they believed, now that's these people of the Samaritans, Philip preaching the things concerning the what? The kingdom of God. The average Baptist reads that and he says, see there, Acts chapter 8, they're preaching salvation by grace through faith, plus or minus nothing. This is why the book of Acts, you have to be so very, very careful when you're in it. Now, that's what people would think. Keep reading. In the name of Jesus Christ, they were what? Both men and women. Well, that sounds pretty good, right? They believed and then they got in the water. Verse 13, then Simon himself believed also. How about that? Did this sorcerer believe on Jesus Christ? So it says. It says, so he believed himself, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding what? Miracles and signs. Turn your Bibles, keep your hand there. You go to Mark chapter 16, and I'm going to show you what they are believing. Mark 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what? But he that believeth not shall be. And these signs shall follow them that what? Does everybody see that? So whatever they're believing in verse 16, something follows in verse 17. Now, what is it that follows? In my name shall they cast out devils. Did they do that with Simon the Sorcerer? Yes, they did. They shall speak with new tongues. Now, we don't know if they did that or not. They shall take up serpents, just like they do in Eastern Kentucky. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what? No faith, none zero. They just lay their hands on them, and they're healed up. So what was going on in Acts chapter 8? The message that Philip is preaching is the same message that is in Mark 16, 16. Yes, a version of it. So this thing is progressive and it's moving like this. What we want to do is we want to say, okay, we got this with Stephen. Now it's all this and the reason for that is this. All right, so you have the Mediterranean here. You got the Sea of Galilee. You got the Jordan River. You got the Dead Sea. Jerusalem is about right there. That's where they started. Now they're moving. And when they get out here and get to moving, guess what they run into? Jews. 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 And every time they run into these Jews, guess what happens? Signs and wonders. Because the Jews require a, and that is almost all the way through the book of Acts. That's what makes it difficult. Now, once we get to Romans, everything's different. Now you get the Pauline mysteries. And there are seven of those mysteries. Every Christian ought to know exactly what those seven mysteries are. Christ in you, the rapture. I mean, there's seven of them. You should know them. That doesn't happen until Romans. Does everybody understand? That is the book that the Reformation starts with Martin Luther. Martin Luther gets a hold of the book of Romans and everything is different. All right. Does everybody see this? Does that make sense to you? Now, I'm in deep water. You know, this is not what you're going to get every day down at the local Baptist church. All right, let's keep reading. Verse 14. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. So were Peter and John there in the beginning? Now, who's doing all this preaching, all these people believing? Philip, who, verse 15, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the what? So here are people who have believed and were baptized, but didn't get what? Now, how do you figure that? Because it's not the same gospel. So they're going to get their, so these guys, Peter and John, are going to come in there, lay hands on them. Guess what they get immediately? They get the Holy Ghost. That's where the charismatics get it. You go in and lay hands on somebody and they get the Holy Ghost. Be careful letting somebody lay hands on you because you're liable to get more than you bargained for. In Acts 2, nobody's getting their hands laid on and getting the Holy Ghost. Acts 10, nobody gets their hands laid on and getting the Holy Ghost. This thing is Jewish, and that's why it's different. Does everybody see? That's why Acts is difficult. All right. Verse 18, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered money. Can't you just see all this stuff happening? So he's there, he's watching, he's going, man, ain't this something? Verse 19, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. He says, I want this, I'll pay you for it. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Now, do you see that right there? That's the key. What wasn't Simon the sorcerer? He did not have the apostolic signs. He did not have part of that. He says, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of thy wickedness and pray, and if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. I mean, he is slapping Simon the sorcerer, who has just believed and just been baptized. He's smacking him hard. Verse 24. Then answered Simon and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. Looks to me like old Simon gets right. Now, I can't prove that because that's all I've got right there. But that's how it looks. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel. That's Mark 16, not 1 Corinthians 15, in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. And verse 27, we get the Ethiopian eunuch, which we will get to next week. Now, I've just given you what it would probably take a year. I mean, if I was going through the whole thing, maybe 2 years, to get you to where we are tonight. So if anybody has questions, I'll take questions. And I will do my best to answer your questions. Does anybody have any questions? No questions? Did anybody?
If I'm here, give us a test.
No test.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Today, for the third time in a brief amount of days, transcendental meditation has come to my attention. Somebody has mentioned it to me. And today, this afternoon, one of my tenants called me and said he was getting the greatest, and he's a Christian. He said he was getting the greatest relief he's gotten from anything from TM. And I have a feeling that's the unclean spirits that we're talking about, but I wish you would address that for us because it's coming back.
Well, that's for sure. That's sorcery. I'm not necessarily prepared tonight to give you 20 verses on it, but that's exactly what that is the black, the best way I look at it, it's black arts. So it's not just that Simon was a magician and he's tricking people. That was not the case. It's very much like voodoo. People think, man, that's just a joke. It ain't a joke. There's real unholy and ungodly spirits that are very, very powerful things. You don't fool with that. Now, do we need to fear it? No, you just put it under the blood and go on and it can't bother you. But you go over in Haiti, you go over in Africa, and they'll have these little voodoo dolls. I know missionaries, and what those voodoo guys would do is they would make little dolls of their kids, stinking rascals. And then their kids would get sick. And all kinds of stuff. You say, well, that stuff ain't real. Well, yes, it is very real. Yes.
So do these evil spirits you're speaking of, do they actually have the power today to give a person relief?
Relief meaning
you're meditating to these evil spirits, are they?
Yes.
They
but it'd be temporary.
Relief to draw you in.
Yes. It would be temporary.
Yeah.
So one of the things you want to always remember, freedom . So let's take freedom from sin. Mine is all gone. Let's say somebody is going to get free from alcohol. If they have to put you on another drug to get you off of this, are you free?
No. Now, maybe they put you on a drug to wean you off of this, and then you cut it off. Okay, now we got freedom. But what the world does is it exchanges one drug or whatever you want to call it for another. That's all they do. They do not give freedom. You know what religion does? Religion exchanges one sin for another. That's all religion does. The Bible gives freedom. I am free to live for God. I am free to not sin. Now, do we sin? Everybody in this room. But did you have to? You did before you got saved, but not after. You're free from it. Now, you may choose to do it, but that's your choice. That's not the Adamic nature's choice. All right, any other questions? Now, I know this is heavy-duty stuff, and if you go, I don't get all that. You don't have to worry about any of that. All you have to know is salvation is by grace through faith plus Christ. But the point is your Bible the greatest book that's ever been written? More in it than you can shake a stick at. And anybody that thinks, I got it all, he's lying. He don't have it all. All right, no other questions? Anybody learn anything? All right, let's stand, bow our heads. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your words, for preserving them for us. Thank you, Lord, for our visitors today. And I pray that you might have stirred their hearts, Lord, and warmed their hearts. I think of Paula. I pray you would help her blood pressure to come down. And I pray that she might heal up. I pray for the baby, that she might love you and serve you all the days of her life, that you might use her for, Lord, your honor and your glory. I pray that you might help Paul and Jacob to bring her up and raise her in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you.